Good morning, everyone. It's time for us to start the class this morning. We appreciate very much your presence. Glad that you're here. Glad that we have the opportunity to be together this morning and study from God's Word. We'll be looking at the questions on Proverbs 3, and then we'll have a discussion on Proverbs 4, and we'll see how that goes. If we have enough time, we'll try to get questions on chapter 4, too. I guess that's just wishful thinking that we would get that far along, but maybe we'll do what we can. We'll get everybody ready here. We'll start with a word of prayer. So would you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful unto Thee for this day that Thou hast given us. We're thankful for this opportunity to be together as Thy people to study from Thy Word. We pray, Father, that You would be with us as we open Thy Word, that we might do so with a receptive heart and mind to Thy Word, that we might be willing to receive it and take it into ourselves and to use it and apply it in our lives. And we're thankful, Father, for the wisdom that we receive from Thee, from Thy Holy Word, and their knowledge and understanding that we receive from Thy Holy Word. And we pray this, Father, this morning that we will receive those things today. We're thankful for opportunity for this congregation to meet today. Ask Thy blessings upon all the classes that are taking part at this time, and that You might bless them and be with the teachers as they open Thy Word to the students this morning. We pray You will continue to be with us and forgive us of our sin. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to, right off the bat, to open your questions on Proverbs chapter 3. Those questions have been passed out for several weeks now. Proverbs chapter 3. I do have a copy or so if somebody would need a copy of those questions. Proverbs 3. Oh, did we see somebody? Oh, I see him. Right in front of me. There's two of them, Bill. Yes, he's got it. There's the first page and the second page. Three, and then it says continued. Well, I think they're all together. We're looking at Proverbs, and we're studying about the writings of a very, very wise man. That gift was given unto him by God Almighty. When Solomon asked that he asked of God, God said, "Well, what do you need, and what would you like?" And Solomon said that he needed wisdom in order to be able to guide and to lead God's people. And so that's what he got. And so we're talking about the writings of Solomon, the son of David, as we study in chapter 3. So look at your questions on Proverbs chapter 3. I had it written down, believe it or not, I hope I'm correct, that Jordan had the last question. Does that sound about right? Yeah. Okay, good. So we'll start right there with question number one. I would suppose we was going that way with you. Okay, that way. Okay. Charlene?
What is said about the heart in relationship to obedience? Do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my
heart keep my commandments. Question number two, we're up here at the front. Now, Brady, somebody you want to answer?
Please.
All right, thank you very much. All right, then we got question number three. Gene, would you like to do that, please? I didn't mean to skip over you. All right. Would it be possible for mercy and truth to forsake you and do what? I believe you do have the wrong sheet. That's what I was looking for. Okay, there we go. Question number three. It is, and that it's through disobedience. So how would it forsake you? Well, because of your actions, because our actions that we would be disobedient. Then what good does it do? It doesn't do anything. So that's where it sounds like it's given up on you in some way, but it's through our own actions, being disobedient, that we could.
It leaves us.
Yeah. It's like we can't have it both ways. There's no in between and with us, and we can't. It won't be there. So question number four, and Thomas. Excuse me, Carolyn. You want that one? All right, that's a blessing. Have faith, find favor in high esteem, and seeking after wisdom. Number five, Thomas.
What is that about trusting in the Lord, trusting with all your heart, and all your understanding?
Okay. All your heart. Don't not lean on your own understanding. So if you have that second page, there's a continuance. It says that we look here in the next question. And I have mine in two different spots, so I'm turning to that. Question number six. Hank?
What warning is given in verse 7 of being wise in our own devices?
Okay. Not being wise in our own eyes. And so we need to be aware of that. When it says, look out, this is a warning. Question number seven. First fruit, and that's what he desires. That's the way it was with the Jews under the old law, that they give of the first fruits, the best they had, the first fruits, and so that's what God requires of us too. So, question number eight. Okay. He loves. If he loves you, he chastises you. And in that, he's giving you an opportunity to straighten out and to do better. And so he's chastising you, punishing you in some way make you realize your condition so that you might be keep straightening that out. Question number nine. Yeah. So that's the reason they would be happy. More valuable than silver and gold and rubies, right? And those are very valuable things back in Solomon's day, but they're very valuable things now, aren't they? And so having wisdom makes a person happy because he has found great value when he has attained wisdom. That brings us to question number 10.
Why is obtaining wisdom better than
getting silver? All right. And it's the idea continues there that it's better than those things that are worth a great deal. Number 11, Let's see. Danny, would that be you?
What are some of the rewards of wisdom, verses 16 through 18? Our length of days is in the right hand, left hand riches, ways of pleasantness, and all the paths of peace. Which is the real life, those who play over her and happy are all the same.
Yeah. Okay. So that's some of the rewards. We might say some of the benefits of wisdom, some of the benefits of wisdom. And the benefits of wisdom is great. So that's the whole purpose. And he's making a description before, prior to that, saying more valuable than rubies and gold and silver. It's worth more and more and more, and you can be happy with that, in that it it's great. I have a great value. And then the benefits of that, having that, is length of days and riches and honor and pleasantness and peace. That's some of the benefits of wisdom. Okay, question number 12. And we're going back over here. All right. God's wisdom, he founded the earth, and he established the heaven. And who could look at how the earth was made and look at the heavens especially and say it took a super wise person, a super wise identity to create these things. Who would not agree with that? Of course we would. We would agree with that. And so, said about God's wisdom, look what he did. Look what he's able to do. And we might even say, look what he continues to do with this earth. Question number 13. Okay. Life to your soul and grace to your neck. Very good. Number 14. Sister Edna, you want to answer one? Yeah, it makes it sweet. Sleep sweet. And you'll not be afraid to go to sleep. Question number 15.
Where is the godly person's confidence placed? In the Lord.
In the Lord. Absolutely. Number 16. Do not devise evil against him. Number 17. Would you like to answer that? Okay. We're not to envy the oppressor. We're not to envy those who are causing difficulties for other people. Not to envy them. Wisdom says, don't be like that. And so in question number 18 then. Joe, I think we're back to you. We'll start you and go the other way here.
What is said to be blessed, the home of the just.
Yeah, home of the just. That would be another benefit of someone who's obtaining wisdom, right? Number 19. Very good. That's right. Thank you. Thank you for that. All right, question number 20. Okay. All right. That the wise inherit glory, and shame for the fools who will not receive wisdom into their lives and live by that. Anything else anybody got anything to say about chapter 3 before we want to move there and move to chapter 4? Well, in chapter 4, he starts out by describing the security that we find in wisdom. And here we have Solomon talking to his children. In the some of the translations that I looked at, instead of the New King James says, when Solomon says, "Hear my children," some of the other translations says, "Sons, hear my sons," or "son." Some even translate it "son." Some say, "Sons, hear my children." It has a little more universal application if it is said children. But nevertheless, as we talk about certain translations and things like that, I think the meaning is still there. Even if he was speaking individually to one son, then there would still be an application even for that, to take what he said and to apply it to ourselves. But nevertheless, a little more universal application when he says, "my children." So not to try to make any kind of point about that at all, but sometimes when you see that, you look at the different translations, you say, well, this translation makes a little more universal application. This one is a little more specific and that sort of thing. I don't think there's anything to say that there's something about that. Not at all. Do what? Say that again. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. Solomon begins by saying, "Hear my children. Children. Hear my children. Hear what I have to say." This is the instruction of the Father. Instruction of the Father. And give attention to know my understanding. So here we have the picture for us is that a father is having a discussion with his children. He's talking to his children. And he's talking about how that they need to learn right now in their youth, at a tender age, that they need to learn right now about how to serve God, how to be proper in His sight. How are we going to know those things? How are we going to get there? How are we going to be right? And he's setting to explain that to his children. And it begins with wisdom. The principal thing is wisdom. Knowledge is great and it's necessary. But wisdom, the principal thing is wisdom. To know how to conduct yourself. To know how to respond to things that you're going to engage in life. To know what would be right and which direction you needed to go. Be able to see that. And to be able to identify that and not be carried away and then later on say, "Whew, if I'd known it was going to be like this, I wouldn't have gotten myself into it." And what he's trying to say is, you need to be able to have the wisdom to identify those things that's going to cause you problems, going to be sinful and contrary to God, and not be involved in those things. You need to be able to identify those things. Wisdom helps you be there. And so, my children, listen to the instruction of the Father. Give, for I give you good doctrine. Good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. Doctrine is that. Will somebody answer that? Doctrine is teaching, right? Teaching, belief. It's your belief. Isn't that right? It's your belief. You teach it, right? So doctrine. So he says it's good doctrine. And so as he was talking to his children, when I was my father's son, this is Solomon saying, when I was my father's son, tender and only one, and the only one in the sight of my mother. When I was in that point of life, my mother was still focused primarily on seeing after me. At that age, you needed a lot of attention. It's that age that we're talking about, when it was that primary focus in her life, was that child. And my father was teaching me at that time. I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 2. Go back a little bit. Go back a little bit. 1 Kings chapter 2. And let's see here. Verse 1. Let's start right there. And Mark Davis, would you like to read? And probably need to only read me about... maybe I'm in the wrong place, but I was looking here. No, this is it. Okay. But first, 1 through 3, please.
Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be strong and bearable, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn.
The reason I brought us back there is we brought us back there to that point where David is sitting down and he's talking to Solomon. Okay? Solomon is saying in his proverb, that's what my father did. That he set me down and he talked to me about these things. And this is what he did. So we could see in the record then, we could go back to 1 Kings and we could have the account where that is given to us that, yes, that's what he did. That he set him down and he had him, and I want you to look, if you match the scriptures in 2 Kings chapter 2 with what we read in Proverbs, guess what? Solomon didn't forget. He didn't forget. Write it on your heart. Keep it within you, David said. And that sort of thing. So we look further here. He taught me and said to me in verse 4, let your heart retain my words. And he did. Keep my commands and live. And he remembered those things. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. So when David was teaching his son Solomon, and so Solomon is teaching his children. Can you see the pattern? David is teaching Solomon. Solomon is teaching his children. Right? And on and on. And God wants that to go on and on and on and on. Until it comes down to us, and then it leaves us with the responsibility, hey, now it's my turn to teach my children. And even might even say some of the same things that David said to Solomon and that Solomon said to his children too. Even might have some things. So the father teaches his son. The mother has responsibility of teaching too. And caring for the children. She has responsibility in teaching. And that's the reason that we understand that we are to teach our children at every opportunity, no matter what it is. If we lying down, if we're setting up, if we're walking in the way, no matter what opportunity we might have, that we're teaching our children. Solomon's teaching his children. Do not forget my law. Do not forget. Do not forget the words from my mouth. This is good doctrine that I'm teaching you. You keep it in your heart. And just like Solomon kept it in his heart from when David was teaching him. And don't forsake wisdom. Don't forsake it. And she will, if you don't forsake it, she'll preserve you. In other words, you don't forsake it, she'll keep you. Okay? That's giving us a benefit of wisdom. She'll keep you. And don't forsake it. Don't turn from it. Don't preserve it. She'll keep you. Keep it and she'll take care of you. Wisdom is the principal thing in verse 7. Therefore, get wisdom in all your getting and understanding. principal thing. Is knowledge good? Oh, yeah, knowledge is very good. How about wisdom? Wisdom is a principal thing, you see. Wisdom is a principal thing. And so that's what we, that was what we should strive for. Just like Solomon was, it was a gift that God gave to Solomon, more, a gift in this sense that it was more than what any man can obtain on his own. Now you might have a father who's teaching you to get wisdom, and just in a general way, but then it's left up to you to find out how to get it. Solomon got it. You remember that? That's what I'm saying. So more than what man could have got on his own, Solomon got it from God. But Solomon's teaching his children about wisdom. He said, you get wisdom. And that's the principal thing. It's wisdom. It's wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Along with wisdom, get understanding too. So what would be the difference in wisdom and understanding? Somebody tell me. Go ahead, Keith. Go ahead, Greg. I'll let you.
Something similar to wisdom would be what it is the Lord wants me to do. Understanding is my life. It's why.
The why? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would have to have some sort of being able to apply wisdom. How do you apply wisdom? What do you do with it? You got it. You got it. Then how do you apply it? Is that not where some of that understanding comes along? This is how I have to know how to use my wisdom. Know how to use my wisdom. I have to have knowledge and get knowledge. Knowledge along with it. That's what he's saying with it. Know how to build.
I think one thing about wisdom, at least the way I think of it, I think it's great, is that it is when you have two choices.
I think that is part of wisdom, being able to see it, and to perceive what situations are, what things that you have to encounter in life, and perceive what they are. Now, wait a minute. Let's think about this for a moment. If I do this, I may have to do this, this, and this to get there. And hey, but at the end, that'd be good, and I can see where that would glorify God. If I do this way over here, it might be difficult. I have to do all this. But no. This is going the wrong way. And so I'm not going to go that way. I'm going to go the right way. The way that I can see having a good outcome about it and that sort of thing. And so that's what wisdom is, that being able to do that, to understand it, to the point where figure it out, that you can see that. And wisdom, then I would suggest to you that wisdom may, most likely doesn't act very harshly, quickly or harshly. Wisdom is taking the time to breathe a little bit, to see where you are, to look at things, now which way I need to choose here, what I need to choose, and then apply. That's wisdom. And so knowledge is applying, is applying what you know. The wisdom that you have.
Sam, one other thing, as going through this, we usually think of wisdom as being associated with an older person who has seen things and learned.
Right, experience.
But a young person can gain wisdom by listening to an older person.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't you think that's a good point? That's a really good point. So, When Solomon was a tender person, young age, okay, tender age, Then David set him down and had taught him and continued to teach with him, to teach him. And so what was David trying to tell Solomon then? David was saying, learn from my experience. Learn from my life. And you don't have to have experienced what I experienced to know this is what you do and this is what you don't do. Right? So he learned from that. So we learn. People can learn, even at a very young age, from the experience of somebody else's experience, older person's experience. And so you can get wisdom by just learning from somebody. Right? You don't have to really have the experience. You can just learn it. And I think that's what Solomon is teaching. That's how he was taught, and that's what how he is teaching here, too. All right. So wisdom is a principal thing in verse 7. We are to exalt her, and she will promote us. She will bring honor to us, and she will place upon our head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. And so those people who follow after the wisdom understand and know that that is the principal thing, then the benefit of that is that she will promote us. She will raise us up. She will elevate us because we have done the right thing, because we have chosen the right path. And it will elevate us because we have chosen the right thing, the path that glorifies God. And so it elevates us. It elevates us spiritually. It elevates us, and we're closer with God than we were. And so, because we have wisdom, we're closer with God than we were. And so we're elevated then because of wisdom and using our wisdom as we should. And it will bring honor to us. And then using our wisdom in that way, it would bring honor to us. We would be called righteous. We would be called the righteous one. We would be called his children. Because of wisdom, you see, that would bring honor to us. I'm not so much with men, maybe that's not what I'm talking about, but with God, that would bring honor to you. And it'll place on our head, we'll be crowned for that. And I'm using that crown, like they're saying here, that somebody, they would place a wreath on somebody's head because they had won some sort of event. They had competed in some sort of event, and they had won and they stake some kind of wreath on their head for doing that to signify that they are the victor. Well, that's what wisdom does for us, that it puts us in that place. It elevates us, makes us brings us to honor, and it crowns us. If we do not forsake her and we keep her, she will, when you embrace her, embrace wisdom. When you embrace her, so that means that you're taking her in to a closeness with yourself, and then you are elevated, you're honored, and you are the victor, and being crowned because you are a victor. Solomon says, "Hear my son," in verse 10, "and receive my saying. And the years of your life will be many." Just suppose that was you. Some of us who are getting older, we might remember back, and maybe your father talked with you, and maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't have much to do with you. Maybe he did. But wouldn't you remember if he, at a young age, wouldn't you remember if your father had set you down, or not just set you down, but while you were doing something, you perhaps been helping some work or something like that. And he said, "I want to talk to you about this, son. It's really important. And I want you to remember all these things that I talked to you about. And I want you to practice them and take it on." And he said, "I'm serious about this, man. Let's talk." And would you not remember that? And then it begins to spring to you about wisdom. I think you would. I think you wouldn't forget that. You would remember that. And so that's what's going on here. Solomon's trying to teach his children and teach them what to do in order to have a good life with the Lord. I have taught you, verse 11, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. What's he saying? He said, I've been a good example to you. Isn't that what he's saying? I've tried to be a good example to you. I've taught you. I've led you in the right way. I've directed you in the right way. I've tried to be a good example to you. I've tried to be a good father to you. And by doing that, I taught you the ways of wisdom. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Now, I've taught you about wisdom. And I've taught you about all these things about life and choosing and focusing and that being on the right thing. He said, because I've taught you and you've received it, then you're not going to have these difficulties. When you walk, you will not be impeded whatsoever. You won't be hindered whatsoever. Because why? Because you have wisdom. You've sought after wisdom, and you know how to handle things. And you won't stumble when you run. You're not going to stumble. Why? Because you have wisdom. And I've taught you these things. I've led you in the right way. I continually taught you about these things, and things are going to be good for you. Take firm hold of instructions, and do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Instructions. Take hold of it. Don't let it go. Don't turn it loose. And then that's what's going to help you in this life. Those instructions. Do we ever get to the point where we don't need any more instruction from anything, anybody about anything? No, we never get to that point. No. So perhaps somebody might have the attitude here, don't need to hear anything else from anybody. But no, that's not right. We do. We need it. No matter how old we are, we need it. We need instruction. Now we get to the point where he's telling about wisdom. He's talking to him about wisdom and how good it is and what it's going to do for you and how he's been trying to teach you as my children. Then he begins to speak about those evil ways. Those ways that are not so good. Verse 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked. And do not walk in the way of the evil. Now you can remember that do not enter and do not walk. Do not. Because there's a lot of that here. Because that's the right terminology. Avoid it. In verse 15, do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass by. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun. And shines even brighter until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Don't enter in the way of the wicked. Do not join up with them. Do not follow after them. Do not. Do not. Do not. Is that pretty clear? It's pretty clear, isn't it? Yes. So that's what Solomon is teaching his children about those wicked things that they're going to have to apply wisdom in order to avoid those things and not take up those things in their lives. They don't even know what makes them stumble, what makes them like that. They don't know. They can't see it. All they can see is what they have lust to do. And that's all they care about. And they don't even know that what they're doing is really hurting. They don't even know that. But it is. It's going to hurt them. And just like some of the benefits of wisdom is long life, and stability, and peace, and that sort of thing, some of the benefits of evil is that you're like, good possibility you're not going to have such a long life. You're not going to have any peace. You're not going to have any stability whatsoever in your life. You're not going to have all that when you're in the doing those things which are wicked. So that's the difference. It's like a comparison and trying to see the difference between that which is right and that which is not so right. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Hear, my son. Hear it. Listen. Hear. Listen. Those terminology you read about in the book of Proverbs. Incline your ear to my saying. My son, give attention to my words. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. Keep your eyes. Let them. Keep the things that I have taught you that you might remember, for they are life to those who find them and health to all the flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Keep your heart with all diligence. Does that mean you just sort of try, or you just kind of give a little bit of effort? Is that what that means? Is that what diligence means? No, it's not mean a little bit. It don't mean that you sort of try. No, that's not what it means. He said, you really pay attention to it. You really get after this. You really do that with all diligence. Whatever effort it takes, you're ready and willing to give yourself over to that very thing. No, that's what he's talking about. It's that kind of diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Somebody gets to that. Why don't you read it for us? Proverbs 23, verse 7. Somebody read it. Get it, Bill?
"For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to eat and drink, that his heart is not weak."
Okay. So as he thinks, and the New King James Version says, so as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Right? As he thinks within himself, Bill, that's what he is, right? Okay. So as we look at back in Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, well, this says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Isn't that treasure is? Isn't that way Jesus said it? For where our heart is, that's where our treasure is. Lay up not for yourself treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, not on treasures of the earth. Where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. Well, that's how Jesus speaks it. Solomon speaks it in Proverbs. Like this, keep your heart with all diligence, out of spring the issues of life. And what's in your heart, that's what you turn out to do. That's what you are, and that's what you do. What you are. And so that's what comes out. And so we need to keep that with all diligence. Put away a deceitful mouth, and put away perverse lips from you. Put them away. He's a perverse lips, deceitful mouth. That's not the way to live. And that's another one of these do not that Solomon has given his children. Don't do that. Don't speak in such ways that you would be deceitful and perversely. Or those words that are vulgar and perverse, twisted and that sort of thing. No, that's not what that's not what you're supposed to do. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you, straight ahead. So here's the way you're going in life. Well, you got your focus and what's before you, and you're looking straight ahead. That's what he said. Don't be distracted for all these little things that come from this way and this way and this way. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyelids in front of you. Ponder the path of your feet. Think about it. Really think about it. Ponder about it. Ponder about the things of your feet. Is that what your feet have established a path for, that is that you will take? And all your ways be established, not wishy-washy and not being easily moved, but established. And in verse 27, and do not turn to the right or the left. Stay, you keep your focus, look ahead. Don't be don't deviate from that. Don't turn to the right or left. Remove your foot from evil. And I would say those are some mighty fine words to live by. What do you think? Those are some things that parents need to teach their children. Would you agree with that? Said it's just, if you have to, just set them down. Say, hey, look, I'm serious about this. You need to learn it. It's going to help you the rest of your life. So, you have any questions about that? Our time is almost up. Any questions, any comments, Brother Leon? Very good. Now, before the class ends, we have some questions, additional questions that we need to get passed out. And these are questions that continue with Proverbs chapter 5, 6, 5 and 6. So, yeah. If anybody hasn't got one of these, would you please take one of them? Thank you for your participation in your in the class. Oh, we don't have those yet? Okay. Okay, thank you.